My sermon title this morning is The Peace Discovered in Advent. And as I said in my opening welcome, today marks the fourth Sunday of Advent. And in fact, it's the final Sunday in Advent. There are only four, and I can't believe how quickly we traveled through this season. Seems like we just lit the first candle, and now the fourth candle was lit by Pam. And the fourth candle represents peace. And I think all of us could use a little peace in our lives. You know, on December the 11th was my mother's birthday. It's hard to believe that she would have been 100 years old. But whenever it was her birthday, it always reminded me that Christmas was around the corner. So when we celebrated Mom's birthday, I knew some benefit was going to come to me sooner or later, in a week or so. And all kinds of memories flooded in my mind as I was thinking of my mom. In fact, my mother loved this song in Italian. It's called Mama. And I listened to it, and as I was sitting there drinking in the words of that song, I was thinking about when I was a kid growing up around my mother's birthday and around Christmas time. I always found Christmas Eve more exciting than actually the Christmas day, because when I went to bed that night, I was full of so much anticipation, because I knew when I woke up in the morning, under the tree would be gifts. Maybe a Roy Rogers, I know I'm dating myself, a Roy Rogers pistols and a cowboy hat and maybe a rifleman rifle. For you kids out there, just Google it and it'll explain what I'm talking about. But there was excitement when I went to bed that night. In fact, I can remember as a kid, I was so excited, I even found it hard sleeping that night because, you know, I was trying to catch Santa. We didn't have a chimney, but he got in the house somehow, I guess. But I always wound up falling asleep before the morning came. And so anticipation, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. The anticipation of Christmas morning. And that's what we've been talking about during this season of Advent, is that it's a season of anticipation of the coming of Christ, the Christ child. And then, of course, as post-Christmas Christians and post-Easter Christians, we know the story, and so therefore we also are anticipating his second coming. But you know, as a kid, I felt like Christmas Eve was more exciting than Christmas Day itself, but I could tell you that Christmas is more exciting than any other time because it's when the Christ child came in and broke into our world. And actually, the gift of the Christ child was more exciting than the expectation. And so I'd like to share a story, and I think Conrad will appreciate this story because it has occupational connotations attached to it. I would like to share a story about two women who were seated on a bus next to one another in the back of the bus, and they got involved in a very loud argument, and it was annoying all of the passengers. They were arguing over whether the window of the bus should be open or not. And so the woman furthest from the women, woman closest to the window, said that she would die of a heat stroke if that window wasn't open. The woman closest to the window says, if the window isn't closed, I'm going to die of pneumonia. And so it drew the attention of the bus driver, and he went back to find out what was going on concerning this disturbance. And both women begged the bus driver to come up with a solution. So he thought for a moment, and he said, first open the window, and that'll kill this one. And then close it, and it will kill the other, and we'll all have peace on this bus. Peace. Peace. Something we all desire. Peace is what I want to talk about this morning. Isn't that what we all want? If someone asked you, what is peace for you? How would you answer that question? You know, we probably don't even think about it, but if someone came up to you personally and individually and said, what does peace really mean to you? How would you or I respond to that question? Peace, you know, by the way, and I think all of us know through life experiences, that it is a fleeting commodity. Sometimes it's with us and we're singing on the mountaintop, and then a moment later, it seems like peace is gone and we find ourselves somewhere between the valley and the mountaintop. Some would say peace is the absence of conflict. So if there's no conflict, therefore I have peace. Or even stopping a loud argument on the back of a bus could bring peace to the rest of the riders. Amen, Conrad. We often use the phrase peace and quiet, right? If I can only get some peace and quiet. If only I could slow down a little bit. I love this commercial, and it's a current commercial, and many of you have seen this commercial, I'm sure, on television. It's a Lincoln Continental car advertisement. You might remember the mother and wife opens the door, and a drone is flying across the room. There's toys scattered everywhere. The husband's there with the kids. The house is total chaos. And before they could even see her enter the room, she backs out, closes the door, goes into her Lincoln, puts the seat in a full recline, and goes, ah, total peace. I think that's a great commercial, right? Sometimes you have to escape to your car to get away from the craziness. Maybe at work, you instead of taking lunch in the lunchroom, you go to your car just to get away from the craziness that's going on. Really, peace is a frame of mind that we have. And this is where I'm going to go with this message in the remaining time. When we're right with God, we've got peace. When we're right with God and we have that right relationship and we're centered, spiritually speaking, we could still have peace in the midst of the storm. In fact, you all know this. If you don't, look it up in the letter to the church in Galatians. It talks about peace being one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a gift. It's a fruit, which means all of us should have that fruit of peace in our lives when we're centered on Christ. We often think that the only way we could have peace is if we get rid of all of our problems. If we rid ourselves of all those things that are stressing us out. If we could only land that new job. If we could only pay off all of our credit cards, then certainly we will have peace. However, it's a temporary peace. We'll have peace for that moment until the credit card bill rises up again, and then we'll be filled with anxiety once again. There are only temporary solutions to the peace issue, if you will. I once heard a quote, and I'd like to share this quote with you. It says, "Life is not about how fast you run or how high you climb, but how well you bounce." And I love that. How well you bounce back, right? It's not this episodic climb and then we've reached it, or we run as fast as we can to reach that goal and then we have it. No, it's how we bounce back with Jesus at the center of our lives. Peace comes not by getting rid of our problems, but rather focusing on what God wants us to think about in the midst of our problems. And I think that's what Paul was talking about in the scripture that Barbara just read. How do we know what to think about? How do we hear God's voice? Well, we hear God's voice through His Word, and we hear God's voice by prayer when we have communion and communication with God on a regular basis. And so the Apostle Paul tells us, and I'd like to read it from the Message translation. It's not the best translation, but sometimes it helps us deal in a more contemporary language, if you will. And this is what it says. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true and noble and reputable and authentic and compelling and gracious. The best, not the worst. Don't dwell on the worst, but the best. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things that we curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, the Apostle Paul's saying, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. And that's what really peace is, harmony. Martha probably will appreciate this. When a group is not in harmony, you probably go, oy vey. You know, you're hoping that the choir will be in harmony because everything blends together, whether it's a tenor or a bass or a soprano, an alto. When all those voices combine together in harmony, they make this beautiful sound that we all sit back and enjoy. And friends, that's what peace is all about. Harmony. Harmony with God and harmony with others. Not just God, but to be in harmony with others. And we need to work on that, to get our differences taken care of, to learn how to love people in spite of themselves, or to treat others so that they love us. It's reciprocal, right? It goes both ways. And then there's prayer that leads to peace. And that same letter, Paul writes to the Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in all things, in every situation, by prayer and thanksgiving, make your concerns, make your petitions know, present them to God in prayer. And then he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, when we sit back and find that quiet place in the car or house, the Bible calls it a prayer closet. Some people actually go in their closet. I don't think that's necessary. But find that little space in your home where you could just be alone with God, away from the craziness, the TV, the noise that distracts us. And I know sometimes we're uncomfortable in quiet places. I am. My wife says my foot's always going. I'm always tapping. You know, I've always got to be on the move. You know, you'll start to pray and all of a sudden you say, oh, last night I forgot to wash in the washing machine. Try to settle down and begin to pray to God. And don't use the Elizabethan language, thee, thou, thou, whatever. Just talk to God as you would talk to a best friend. And let God know what's on your mind. And you'll get that peace that Paul is talking about. So we're reminded, God is in control. Whatever you're going through. This has been a tough year. But God is in control. That His plans are greater than our plans. And His ways are not our ways. That He overcame the world through Christ. That's how we could pray with confidence and obtain a peace that Jesus said the world can't give us. Can't get it any other way. The Prince of Peace gives us a peace that the world doesn't offer. We need to learn how to go to God with our problems. On that first Christmas in Bethlehem, God introduced the Prince of Peace to the world. Your world and my world. May we take hold of it tightly and live it and then share that peace with others. Amen.